Dave.
Is traffic moving pretty well when people are out there just because there's not a lot of people out there?
Yeah, but they're driving slow. So there's like little slow patches that I can see on the map. But, you know, there are some people out there, but they are driving slow. But, you know, there's still some accidents
I feel bad for people that don't actually like their families right now.
Why?
Because we've spent a lot of time in Houston since Harvey. A whole lot of time so far in the past 4 or 5 months trapped in your home. And there are people out there, frankly, that look like they might not like their spouse or something. I have this vision of, it's awesome, this weather, you hunker in next to the fireplace and everything. But I just want to be sure that our listeners who might actually despise their spouse to know that we're thinking of you, too.
Yeah.
Like,
there's somebody out there who's like, I got to go to work. I got to go to work. Ellie, tell me that the roads are okay. I got to go to work.
Hot chocolate marshmallows.
Yeah.
That's my contribution.
Hot chocolates and marshmallows. Do not make a marriage counselor, Mike.
That's a good combination of things.
That doesn't save.
If you give someone hot chocolate with marshmallows, they will feel better about you.
Doesn't save the fact that you were flirting with her sister. That just doesn't work that way.
Good points.
Drink it by yourself. Yeah, there you go. Hey, eyes on the roadways, guys, especially out in Montgomery County. We're seeing a lot of ice on the roadways. 45 FM 2854, also at Calvary, and FM 2854. It's going to be on those feeder lanes. So just be safe if you're driving. So there's sleet on those roadways. Go back to basics at your Burlington store and score the everyday essentials you need, like socks, underwear, denim, plus towel, sheets, and stylish storage too. Burlington style for everyone. 31 degrees right now. Yes, it's official. Winter storm advisory in effect. From the TexanRoofing.com weather desk, I'm Ali Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
Join Sports Radio 610 on February 8th. It is the first annual Houston Sports Awards, a celebration of the most accomplished athletes, coaches, teams, and moments in Houston sports. And they're also going to have a golden ticket raffle where you can win season tickets to the Astros, Texans, Dynamo, Rodeo Houston, and the Houston Open during all of next season. It's $100 a ticket. Only 500 tickets are left. All the info and tickets at sportsradio610.com. And join us for the first ever Houston Sports Awards on the night of February 8th. You said a little bit earlier in the show, and I agree with this premise, that basically the Texans moved on from Rick Smith, and yet it seems like they are not getting credit for that as an organization, despite that being the thing that everybody felt that they would not do.
And it's not even that I want them to get credit for it. It's just that I don't know what to make of people saying, well, this is just, it's so Texans that they wouldn't have changed anything. It's so Texans that they just hire a guy that's basically an in-house candidate in Brian Gain and they extend Bill O'Brien. Where the most Texans thing they could have done, in my opinion, was to retain Rick Smith. That seemed like the thing that almost everybody was predicting. Partly at the fault of people like me, just because I speak into a microphone. I just assumed that Rick Smith would never actually be pushed out or that the McNairs would never leave Rick Smith behind. Where now, even if he comes back in the organization now, I think a lot of people, myself included, assumed that there was a good chance that they'd hire an interim GM or that maybe Bill O'Brien would get to take most of the personnel duties and that when Rick Smith came back, you'd see what happened. But they've moved on completely. In terms of Rick Smith being a GM, and I didn't expect that. So really, this is the exact opposite of what I thought the typical Texans thing to do would be. Now, are you rewarding mediocrity with Bill O'Brien? In a certain sense, yes, you are, because that's what he's been. He's been the definition of mediocre. He's been a 500 football coach. But the question becomes, okay, what are you going to replace him with? And is it as simply a matter of, yes, it's been a 500, but there are variables that have kept him from doing better, despite his other flaws that we know very well, is sometimes the gutsiest thing to do to actually stay the course. And we know that with Bob McNair, for one, he let go of a coach and Gary Kubiak, who obviously was good enough to win a Super Bowl. And was it going to happen here? I don't know. Probably not. I'm not criticizing them for firing Gary Kubiak. But that you look at various instances of coaches like Bill Belichick, who in Cleveland was actually had a worse coaching record than Bill O'Brien in his 4 years in Cleveland. Does that mean Bill? I'm not trying to say that Bill O'Brien's as good as Bill Belichick. It's just it's hard to tell. There are way more variables.
Yeah, I think that the criticism right now is the frustration that some people have over, well, why give O'Brien a 4-year extension coming off a 4-12 season? And they brought in somebody who's close to Bill O'Brien in Brian Gain instead of conducting a real open search for a GM. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the frustration comes from, and I think that's totally understandable. If it were me running the Texans, for me, hiring a GM, as I said last week, is an opportunity. You rarely have those chances. It's like a true opportunity, and they basically talk to two different people, and that's about it. But I agree with your first point that the organization basically, the owner picked Bill O'Brien over Rick Smith. That's very clear. And
at the very least, moved on from Rick Smith. No matter what the current circumstances are, he moved completely on from Rick Smith.
I agree, but
I didn't expect that.
My statement, though, I think is definitely the case because he picked Bill O'Brien over Rick Smith. He not only did he pick Bill O'Brien by giving him an extension, he brought in his guy as the GM. Mm-hmm. He picked Bill O'Brien over Rick Smith. Now, that might be wrong for different reasons. It might be wrong because maybe O'Brien's not going to be the coach who leads them to the promised land. It might be wrong for, you know, other reasons. Maybe Gain doesn't work out as a GM. But the owner did, Bob McNair did pick Bill O'Brien over. Like, he bet, he put all the chips in the middle of the table. And now, for the first time in a long time, you have a coach and a GM, whether they're good, not good, or mediocre, they're on the same exact track, timeline, the next five years.
You said something earlier that caught me a little bit by surprise because I don't know if it jibes with another one of your beliefs, and it's this. You had said that, look, Bill O'Brien would likely get snapped up pretty quickly if he was fired, and then you'd find yourself having to replace a head coach. And I guess my question to you is, what's wrong with Josh McDaniels? What's wrong with Pat Shurmur? What's wrong with any of those guys?
Well,
it's
nothing.
Not like, but you were acting like, oh boy, if you get rid of Bill O'Brien, what are you going to do? There aren't that many alternatives. I feel like there are alternatives out there, and I feel like in a lot of respects, I'm trying to be unbiased here. What's a better scenario right now if you're Josh McDaniels? Would it be, now he's going to Indianapolis, but would it be Indianapolis, Houston, or Tennessee?
I'm guessing McDaniels would pick Indianapolis.
You think so? Just
yes.
Because Andrew Luck and his questionable health. You don't know what. We don't know for sure that Andrew Luck's going to play football next year.
We don't. Well, part of it might be that if the Texans would have fired a former Patriots offensive coordinator, what would O'Brien have told Josh McDaniels about this job?
Yeah.
But what I was actually saying with that wasn't like, hey, if you fire O'Brien, oh dear, they would have had to pick through the carcass of coaches. What I was more saying is that what I see written in the paper and what I see in these different columns is what McNair should have done is given Bill O'Brien a one-year extension or a 2-year extension. What I'm really saying is I don't think that was a possibility. Bill O'Brien knew that if he was fired, if he was on the open market, let's say, he would have gotten a 5-year deal to be the next head coach of some other NFL team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would have gone for a 1-year extension.
Oh, he wouldn't have accepted that. That's right. Okay.
Sounds nice to write in the Houston Chronicle. Like,
right.
Why doesn't McNair set the line, give him a 1-year extension? Well, you got to live in
the
real world.
Because Bill O'Brien's a sentient human being that actually has to sign that contract.
Exactly.
It's not like Bob McNair can say, here's a 2-year deal. Sign it now.
Yes.
Like at gunpoint. Bill O'Brien has to sign that deal. And if you do want to absolutely get the most out of Deshaun Watson, you also would hopefully have a few assistants. Like right now, they got to hire some assistant coaches. It's hard to attract assistant coaches to a coach that's on a 1 or 2 year deal where you know very well that, like, oh, okay, I'm going to sign a 4-year assistant coaching contract that means absolutely nothing because I might be out of here looking for another job. And yeah, those contracts are guaranteed, but I think sometimes we forget that just because a coaching contract is guaranteed, it's not like assistant coaches love moving their families around. Like, in an ideal world, they're not thinking, like, hey, if I get fired after 2 years, I could sit around for 2 years and make nothing. These are guys that want to win.
They want to coach.
You know, they want to coach. They want to win. They want to have some kind of consistency in their lives. So stepping on with a guy who is only on a 1 or 2 year deal isn't necessarily the best career move.
If you were Josh McDaniels, would you have picked Indianapolis as he reportedly has done, or would you have waited and talked to Tennessee?
Well, I don't know if at the time, whenever he committed to Indianapolis, he probably didn't know that there was going to be an opportunity
in
Tennessee.
That's what it seems
like. And one was like very clearly a bird in the hand versus the other was, you know, do they even want me? Would they hire me?
Let's just go.
I don't know.
Let's go with the hypothetical.
This is where I don't know how If I'm Josh McDaniels, I don't know how excited I'd be about Marcus Mariota's ceiling as a passer. Where with Andrew Luck, I could very much view Andrew Luck as a guy that's like, you know, I'm Josh McDaniels. I'm the cock of the walk. I feel like I can work magic with people. I'm looking at Andrew Luck, and I feel like he can do everything I want him to do that I do with Tom Brady. With Marcus Mariota, I'm not so sure about that.
One thing that would concern me even more than Mariota, I don't think Tennessee has a great roster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about this. They took a guy, number 5 overall, and Corey Davis made a great play in that first touchdown for Tennessee on Saturday night. They drafted basically a jump ball receiver.
That a lot of people looked at as, and look, draft picks are wrong all the time, but most people looked at him as the bottom half of the first round type of guy.
Yeah, or like mid-first round.
You didn't have to draft him as high as you did. Why did you not trade back, maybe?
They took him at number 5 overall. The Saints took Marshawn Lattimore, I think, at number 12 overall. Watson went 12. Lattimore went 11. And I just look at Tennessee. Like, that to me is an average roster. Whereas Indianapolis' roster overall may not be quite to Tennessee's level, but as compared to, let's say, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Jaguars have a lot of big-time players. I look at Tennessee, and they have, like, 2 or 3 guys I would really want, and that's really about it.
I think the biggest thing with Andrew Luck is moving forward with his career. You know, he's not Ben Roethlisberger. Like, whatever it is, he can't take the kind of abuse that Ben Roethlisberger takes. He's got to figure out a different way to operate. And it's not
get the ball quicker.
Yeah, and it's not like coaches haven't tried to have him do that. He stares his receivers down at times. You know, as smart as he is and as great an arm as he has, he gets himself into trouble. There are times where he's just not snapping off the offense with the timing and rhythm that he needs to. So that's going to be Josh McDaniels' biggest challenge with him. Because otherwise, look, guys are winning playoff games at the age of 40 now. Tom Brady's the only one who's ever done it, but it is happening. And guys like Ben Roethlisberger he says he wants to play 3 more years. You might have a decade with Andrew Luck, but only if he changes the way he plays the game.
I had a huge issue with what the Steelers did at the end of their game against the Jaguars. We'll get into it at 9:30. Where exactly were we wrong about Case Keenum? This is Mad Radio.
Hey, the Houston Sabercats rugby squad. You'll never be wrong with them. If on a Saturday night this spring, this winter and on into spring, you go out and spend a Saturday evening at Constellation Field in Sugar Land, they're going to have a whole bunch of fun this weekend. The Uruguay national team is coming to town. This is going to be a great, great, great matchup for the Sabercats. And they are channeling the spirit of Carnival. Going to be a whole lot of fun. There's an epic tailgate plan. The gates open at 3:30 p.m. The game starts at 7. Bring the whole family out. Bring your buddies out. Bring a date out. It's just a really cool environment. All the listeners I've run into out there at Constellation Field have been having an absolute blast. For your family, with your friends, whatever it might be, go to HoustonSabercats.com. They've got a great selection of ticket packages, single game tickets, multi-game tickets. You can still get season ticket packages, or give them a call at 281-962-7847. That's 281-962-7847 or HoustonSabercats.com.